You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is the Classic Auto Mall Show. Broadcast from the studios inside the Classic Auto Mall in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. Just 1 hour west of Philadelphia at Pennsylvania Turnpike exit 298. Featuring nearly 1,000 classic, vintage, and barn find vehicles for sale under one climate-controlled roof. Now, here's your host, Classic Auto Mall president, and the man with all the toys, Stuart Howden.
And welcome, show number 155. That's hard to believe. We haven't really done 155 shows.
Yeah, really.
I guess we really have, haven't we?
Yep.
Well, anyway, 155, what a perfect couple of guests that we have for our 155th anniversary show.
Yes.
Is there 155? Is that platinum or is that titanium? What is the gift for 155?
Classic cars.
Classic cars, gotcha.
It's your classic anniversary.
And welcome to the show, Mike Tilson and Toby Ross, both from the Radnor Hunt Concord. I just cut out a little bit there, CJR. Mm. I think, you're going to have to fix that.
Okay.
Call button.
Don't call attention to it. Just keep going.
No. I want to really point it out. I like to point out our faults, especially when they're not mine.
Okay.
Mike Tilson and Toby Ross from the Radnor Hunt Concord d'Elegance, which they've so kindly invited me for some odd reason to be on their board of directors. So this is kind of cool. So I can, that goes good on the resume. Well, I'm not sure honored would be the right word, but I appreciate it so much. We are having a lot of fun with it. We'll delve into that here in just a minute. But we wanted to talk about, where did we sell cars this week?
Where?
Why, where do we do? So we only sold 23 this past week, so it was kind of a slow week. I don't know what we're going to do for next week. But how about Robinsonia, which I'm sure I messed that up, Pennsylvania, Walnut Grove, Missouri, New Canaan, Connecticut, Toms River, New Jersey, La Habra Heights, California, Lake Ariel, Pennsylvania. I've never heard of that. San Antonio, Texas, Black River, New York, Marshall, Arkansas, Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, Troy, Missouri, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm not even going to try that one. It's a place in Pennsylvania. And that's another one I'm not going to try either. Holly Hill, Florida, Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Southampton, Massachusetts, Manheim, Pennsylvania, Wauseon, Ohio, Hoppetcong, New Jersey, Redwood City, California, Townsend, Delaware, and DeLand, Florida. So the one I skipped was Seacane. S-E-C-A-N-E?
Seacane, yep.
Of course, and Lackawaxen.
That's a tough one.
That's a really a tough one. Yeah, that's kind of a tongue twister.
Seacane's Delaware County, PA.
If you say so. Yeah. And how's the New Jersey, the Hoppetcong?
I'm sorry. I don't do Jersey.
No Jersey for you.
No.
All right. Well, anyway, as we mentioned, we've got two special guests in the studio with us, Mike Tilson and Toby Ross from the Radnor Hunt Concord d'Elegance. And it's 27th year?
27.
Wow. Did you ever think?
No.
Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Did you ever really want it to go 27? Maybe a good 10-year run and woo, look what we did.
You're 10 and done. Yeah.
Did, and it started kind of as a outlier from the Grand Prix that you guys
used to
do.
Philadelphia Vintage Grand Prix. So, we're both involved in that.
So how did that start? When did that and when?
That started in 1989.
Wow.
It was a promoter who blew into town and rounded up all the car guys he could find in Philadelphia and said, we're gonna recreate the Vanderbilt Cup races in Fairmount Park.
Wow.
And he started calling meetings and inviting people to come. And next thing you know, we're racing cars around Memorial Hall in Fairmount Park.
Yep.
And Mike and I wound up joining the board.
Right.
That went on till 95.
Wow.
When we realized that the city of Philadelphia is not really a very friendly place to try to put on a charitable event like that, race expensive old cars around.
Right, right. Bunch of rich guys. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it lost money every year. So we decided after a while we should stop that.
But we did have some great events with some great drivers and great cars. It was pretty spectacular.
Mario raced around in a Dodge Viper and scared the hell out of all of us
because
he was going so fast.
Oh, and wow.
Little known fact. While Mario was racing around with the gentleman who was our chairman at that time, they didn't know, but we knew that we didn't have any insurance yet.
That sounds very. This is all sounding very familiar to me.
Yeah, but that ended, and then in 1996, we all sat around looking at each other, wondering what to do. And Mike.
Well, I was on the Radnor Hunt Board of Governors. I was on the Future Planning Committee, and they wanted to come up with an idea that didn't involve equestrian sports or tennis. And I said, well, I have a lot of car friends, and we have this beautiful setting. I said, why don't we just have like a little garden party? We'll sit here on the patio, and I'll bring 35 of my car friends to bring a car, and we'll sit around and enjoy that. And it turned out beautiful, awesome. Beautiful weather day. And then they said, well, this is great. Can you make it bigger?
Well,
said, of course.
Sure.
Well,
apparently so, we could.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Here we are now with 100 hand-picked cars and 250 cars in the motorsports park, a barbecue a rally, a black tie. It's become very big, and it's become one of the most highly considered Concours events in the world, actually.
And I say that to people all the time. I think, you know, they don't realize right here in their backyard, if you live close to us, if you live within 100 miles of here, you've got a world-class Concours as good as any on the planet.
And we're very fortunate to have the Simeone Foundation Museum that we can hand-pick cars from.
Sure.
They're very generous.
Yeah.
And within probably 200 miles of the event, there are some serious car collections.
Yeah, people don't realize, and I didn't even realize that when I first moved here in 2017, and I didn't, you know, I kind of went in this kind of backwards. I said, that sounds like fun. We'll open up a mall and fill it full of cars. I hope there's a lot of cars around that part of the world.
Surprisingly.
and surprisingly, there are. I mean, we've consigned since January 1st, 2018, we officially went in business. We've consigned 6,500 cars. Wow. 80% of them have come from within 100 miles of where we sit.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is good and bad. You know, it's it's good, but it's like we need to broaden our horizons a little bit.
Well, we've had cars from Europe, and we've had cars from California, and cars from Texas, a lot of cars from Florida, but a real big concentration of cars in the 100 to 200 mile area, and all quality cars, too.
Yeah.
Eastern Pennsylvania is sort of the center of gravity for car collecting in the eastern half of the United States.
I would argue that it's in some ways better than almost anywhere in
the absolutely.
World. I mean, anywhere, whether you're Scottsdale or Monterey or anybody.
Well, what's interesting, we have some very serious car collectors that will send a very serious car to our event, but won't go to Pebble Beach.
Right, right.
It's too far, too expensive. So we'll get Pebble Beach quality cars at our event.
Well, and it's interesting with Pebble Beach this year. I have mixed emotions about the Best in Show this year. I think a lot of people do. And it's, listen, it is the coolest car ever. I mean, the Bugatti that won Best in Show is a very cool car. I just think that it kind of swayed a little too far from what a Concours d'Elegance is. And it just seems like they may be trying to push the envelope a little too early, too fast, and too quick. Your thoughts on that? Or
well, when I was involved with the event at Hershey, we were the first event that picked an unrestored car for Best of Show.
Right.
It was a significant Alfa Romeo.
Right.
AC 2900.
Yeah.
Belonged to Bob Baer.
And we got a lot of kudos for that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's, you know.
Because it's all
the story. Gave Best of Show to an unrestored preservation Alfa this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, my response to that is that Type 59 at Pebble Beach is very welcome at Radnor Hunt.
Sure. Yeah. It's RadnorHunt.org. RadnorHuntConcours, plural, .org, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we'd love, I mean, what amazingly cool car. And then, of course, they had the wedge cars this year, which were interesting because those haven't really seen the light of day in a long, long time. And the one of them I just read today, the Ford Probe, was in an accident with the truck and trailer, and the trailer caught on fire and burned up the Probe. I just read about that just a few minutes ago before we went on the air, as they like to say. And so, but those wedge cars were interesting, especially the one that had the glass flip-up roof, and you kind of, I don't know, get in and out of that damn thing. might be a little bit tricky. And I know that one of the things that they have been doing at Pebble Beach is they've had Justin Bell and Tommy Kendall do kind of a commentary thing. And it was okay the first year and the second year. It was pretty good, though, this past one. Did you watch any of that? It was on.
I did, yes.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube, and it was pretty good. They were more focused on the cars. And before, they were talking in general terms about things and not saying, oh, and next is the 1937 whatever. And so when they did that, it became more of an interesting show because, you know, these are cars that most people at any Concours have never – most people have never seen these cars.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, these are rare dogs. But there's also the format that you see where the cars – that you see the same car winning Best in Show at different Concours. I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for it? I mean,
To a point, yeah. It's a good thing. When a car has been everywhere and won a lot of awards, sometimes it needs to take a break.
Sure.
Because it's been sort of overexposed.
Right.
But every one of those wins adds to the resume of that car.
Sure. So, and the value.
Right? And the credibility of your event.
Exactly.
Yep. Consistent.
Yeah. The consistency is the most important thing. I mean, and to win any one of these events, I mean, the level that you have to go to with these cars is unbelievable. And then to pick the best in show out of all the best in class cars, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking maybe 10, 15, 20 almost perfect car. There's no such thing as a perfect car, right? I love it when somebody says, oh, my car's perfect. No, well, we'll see about that. Let me get my little notebook here.
Right. What I try to tell my judges to convey to the entrants is that you're already a winner by being here.
Absolutely.
You're on a field of cars that are compared to none.
Yes, so exactly.
Enjoy it. And,
yeah, and if you win something, great.
Yeah.
And our local friend won Best in Class, Ross Myers from Three Dog Garage, won Best in Class with a, what was that? That was a, I don't remember what it was. It was a Packard. Oh, the 1914 Packard 448 7-passenger Touring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And first in class in Packard early, pre-twin 6 category. They had quite a few categories this year out there.
They had a lot of classes.
Quite a lot of people from our area here that were in the show this year.
There was a lot of
Friends out there.
Kathy said, there's a lot of Pennsylvania names that are coming up in first and second and third place, and which was interesting because that's a long way.
That is.
And as you talked about, expensive. I mean, ship your car to the West Coast and back. That's not cheap. The hotel rooms, I mean, it's got to be $1,500 for the Super 8.
Right, and all the other events. And,
Yeah, and the entry fee to go to the events is expensive. And, I mean, and rightfully so. Listen, it's not supposed to be for everybody. Right. It's not supposed to be a $5 ticket and everybody gets to come in and see the cars. You couldn't handle the crowds at that, you know.
The first time I showed at Pebble Beach was with a BMW 507 Roadster that we had restored.
Wow.
And we were quite proud of it, and but we were told by a lot of the organizers, you don't expect to win your first time out.
Right.
Said, no, I'm just glad to be here.
Sure.
I'm glad to be on the show field. Subsequently, we were in second in our class, just behind a 300SL Roadster that Paul Russell had restored. So I felt we were in good company.
Pretty good company there, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that we like to explain to our spectators and fans is that what makes these invitational curated concourses different is the quality of the cars and the amount of effort it takes for the owners to prepare them and bring them to these shows.
Sure.
Most people don't realize that for them it's the honor of showing at beautiful venues, it's the honor of winning awards for their cars, but it's a competition.
Right.
It's a competition like any other kind of sport or event.
And rich people are competitive, right?
Very competitive. That's right. People don't realize that it's not just a local car show.
Sure.
This is serious business. And
people take it very seriously.
Yeah. And the entrants spend thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of dollars to show their cars in order to get a trophy.
Yeah, no money. No, there's not a lot of money
there's
in it.
No money.
When we return, we'll continue our conversation with Mike Tilson and Toby Ross from the Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
If you're a regular listener to the Classic Auto Mall Show, you know that we're really a lifestyle program that has a lot of fun with current events, music, entertainment, with a focus on classic cars. Well, recently, Stuart went down a rabbit hole and told us about his new boat, so we thought, why not give you a chance to name it? So if you have a suggestion, send it to us by August 25th at podcast@classicautomall.com. And our panel of Olympic-quality judges, Stuart, Steve, Randy, and me, JR, will select a winner and announce it on the Classic Auto Mall Show Labor Day weekend. The winner gets their choice of a Classic Auto Mall shirt or hat. We wanted to include a classic car, too, and if we decide to, we'll let you know. But right now, a shirt or a hat. So in the meantime, name Stuart's new boat, though we can't guarantee he'll paint it on there. And email it by August 25th, 2024, to podcast@classicautomall.com. Yar, matey.
If you want to see exciting fish, insects, and reptiles, you'll want to visit the Classic Auto Mall. Where else can you see hornets, honeybees, super bees, living in peace and harmony with stingrays, barracudas, Tiburon, which means sharks, cobras and vipers, as well as beetles. And we don't mean the band. So if you come to Classic Auto Mall, you can see everything there is to see for free, and we won't bug you.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
If you love classic cars, you're going to want to listen to the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello on America's Web Radio. Live every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern at americaswebradio.com or on demand on your favorite podcast app.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the americasbroadcastnetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show from the Classic Auto Mall Studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. I'm trying not to depress Toby here. Sorry about that. I keep bringing up things that I shouldn't. Make a note. Don't bring up anything. Just talk about cars.
No. Bring it all up.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to test your memory banks, both of you. What was the first Best in Show at the first Radnor Concours, the Elegance? Toby.
I think it was a Mercedes 300S.
Ooh.
Don Arano?
Because it's not, it's actually.
Come prepared with that information.
I know. I'm sorry to spring stuff on you. Yeah.
Pretty sure it was a Mercedes 300S.
Well, the last one on our website is 1999. It shows as the last winner in on the website. So that was the 1931 Cadillac Fleetwood Sport Phaeton in 1999. But it doesn't have 98 or 97. So we'll have to work on that. We'll have to figure that out.
The records back somewhere. Then were done with my handwritten notes on
your little notebook?
Of paper. Yeah, a little notebook. But I do have them.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's fantastic. So the featured mark this year is, Toby, is going to be what?
Well, we're hailing Britannia.
Britannia.
We are featuring British coach-built cars, Allard sports and racing cars, pre-war MGs. And in the veteran class, we're having a nod to nickel-era cars, which were approximately 1912 to 1929,
right.
When nickel was a little cheaper than brass that was used on the high-end cars, and we had not yet perfected chrome.
Right.
Chrome came in around 1929.
Is nickel used in anything anymore, except nickels?
Except nickel?
I guess they're made of nickel, right?
Probably not
anymore, the way everything else in the world goes. So, Hail Britannia, is this... So, it's such a broad category. I mean, think about everything that you got. You got Rolls-Royce, you got Land Rover, you got Aston Martin, you got...
Yep.
It just goes on. And then the motorcycle side of it as well, too.
Yep.
I mean, there's
a
lot of British motorcycles, which is an interesting class, which is something what you started in, I think I saw that. First year was 2019, I think, when first year you did the motorcycle
we
class.
We were the first.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
Yep. Some other concours picked that up, but we were the first to do motorcycles.
We're very grateful to have John Lowell on our team.
He finds some of the rarest bikes. It's amazing.
The one degree of separation about everything motorcycles is John.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just amazing who he knows and the collections that he knows about. And motorcycles, you know, the cool thing about collecting motorcycles is you can fit 100 motorcycles in the space.
Exactly.
You can fit about 10 cars.
Exactly.
Right. You know, people wonder why it's hard selling a fire truck anymore. It's like taking up too much damn space.
We were actually the first Concours and the only Concours that does horse-drawn carriages and coachwork.
Right, right. Because that was so prevalent around here, I think it's important to recognize that.
Sure, the Durham Body Company. I have a Packard with a Durham Body. They started out in the coach building business.
Right.
And they transitioned into carriages.
And they called it coach building, even with the cars, yes. But it was not yep. the proper, right. exactly. It wasn't a horse-drawn coach.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, we've had some featured classes with carriages. And
absolutely. Yeah, I mean.
That became car companies.
Right, right.
One of the things that differentiates Radnor Hunt from other high-end concourses is the equestrian connection.
Sure.
It is a fox hunting club, and there are horses everywhere. And our beneficiary is the Thorncroft Riding Academy.
Sure.
So everything equestrian is connected to this concourse, and that is a big attraction for many of our entrants and yeah. spectators.
Well, it's a beautiful setting, and not everybody's into golf. You know, not everybody, you know,
exactly.
a lot of them are on golf courses.
One of the, yeah.
But I tell you what, the amazing thing is that how close in proximity you are to downtown Philly to there, mm-hmm. and you think it's like two different worlds.
It is.
When I drive through Malvern and that part of the world, I feel like I'm in East Tennessee. It's
yeah.
the rolling hills and beautiful, and you think, there is craziness just blocks from here.
20 miles away, you're in Center City.
Isn't that yeah. funny, though? I mean, it's when for people that don't know Pennsylvania, if you moved here, you would never expect to see that kind of terrain and think. You always think of it as, you know, a big city, gritty
suburbs,
you know, nothing like I tell you, driving out there when we have our board meetings and seeing all those beautiful farms and estates and all that, you just think, I want to live here.
But. Well, the people that do the tour, the rally, mm-hmm. that have never been here before, they come back and they say, we had no idea.
Right. Thanks for, yeah. you know, yeah. thanks for yeah. turning us on to this area.
Yeah.
Well, same with us around here. I mean, you want to go take your car for a test drive, you go through Amish country and the hills and rolling hills, and yeah. it's beautiful country.
Yes, it's so peaceful and serene.
And the roads are much better. I mean, yeah. if you've ever taken your anything with thin, new sports-type tires down the turnpike and hit one of those turnbuckles, oh. and you just know that there's $1,000 of wheels just gone and tires. I mean, although, you know, I'm always on to my wife about curbing tires or wheels, and I curbed my wheel going into my own damn driveway yesterday on my Mercedes, and and they go, oh, that's the clear-coated kind. Then they're going to have to, you know, you just got to get a new wheel. I'm like, well, it's just like a little gash that big. Well, not just a little gash. So anyway, not only do we feature Hail Britannia at the Radnor Concours this year, but there's also other marks are accepted as well.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Race cars and other classics.
Sure. And then motorcycles, as we
yeah.
talked about.
Muscle cars. And, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we have three categories of winners. Best to show elegance, best to show sport, and motorcycle.
Right.
Right. So,
and all the other subdivisions.
And then the subdivisions of the categories. And then there's some people's choice of categories yep. and things like yep. that as well, too. And is 100 the right number? Is that, yep. is that always felt?
For.
Yeah.
When after my first garden party and it started to grow, we got close to the 200 range.
Wow.
And it was a little bit overwhelming. So we came up with the idea to call it the 100 Motor Cars of Radnor.
Right.
And Bill Warner, who did Amelia Island, he said, Mike, that's a great idea. He said, my event's getting out of control. I'm over 200 cars.
Right.
He said, I'm going to take, a lesson from that. And then he got up to 300 cars.
It's hard to say no to a wealthy collector.
He couldn't say no.
I know. And that's the problem.
But we're limited by ground and, you know.
Yeah, the geography of it. And it's not like when you're at Amelia where there's 14 hotels within
exactly.
in a block.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of logistical things that yeah. have to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for people to realize that you do that on purpose. You could probably get 300 cars if you wanted them. But
sure. And how many cars can you look at in 4 hours?
Right.
You know,
properly.
And that's the feedback we often get, that the size of our show is perfect.
Right,
You can see all the cars. You can meet all the entrants. You have time to interface with your friends and old friends and new friends.
Yeah.
When, as you say, when you go to Pebble Beach or Amelia Island, it's really hard to see all the cars.
Right. Or people. I run into people. I go, you were at Amelia. I didn't see you.
Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And we found that the 100 cars is just perfect fit for the best areas around mm-hmm. the Radnor Hunt.
Right.
It just fits in the lawns and the nooks and crannies we have for the beautiful setting.
It really is a beautiful setting.
What's interesting, too, is that the motorsports park gets up to 250 cars. I've had some friends and acquaintances that have come to the event, and they've gone into the motorsports park, and they thought that was the Concours.
Never.
Because the quality of the cars are there is just as...
Hell, the parking lot's a pretty good car show.
Exactly.
I mean, you can see some great cars out there in the parking lot area. So, and the motorsports show is great because it's utilizing an area that would be hard to use within the confines of the Concours to have that down there.
But they are in adjacent fields.
Yeah, right there.
And I mean... It all looks like one big show.
And it's amazing the cars that they get in. Yeah. I mean, really, the stuff, the high-end supercar type stuff that you see that, you know, he's like, that car's from right around here. How have I never seen that?
Well, there have been times when the day of the Concours, a couple of cars didn't show up for the Concours, and I've gone down the motorsports park, and I said,
hold them in.
Bring
them in.
Come on.
And we do have judging in the motorsports park. It's a little more fun, a little less formal.
Sure.
But a great crew of judges down there as well, and it's an important part of the show.
Sure.
And it's also where we can recognize slightly newer cars.
Right.
Invitational concourses cut off somewhere around the 1970s. And, you know, the golden era of motor cars. But there's an awful lot of interest and enthusiasm, especially with younger people, for newer cars. And that winds up being a terrific show.
Well, look at the auctions. I mean, the auctions have morphed into supercars and hypercars and, you know, Porsche 911s. And you go, why didn't I buy that car? It was 30 grand, you know, 10 years ago, and now they're 300 grand. And, you know, we see that. And I think that... seeing that is continuing the hobby, because we have to continue the hobby. But to what point? I mean, what's the next category on the horizon for Radnor Hunt? Is it hot rods? I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying, is it hot rods? Is it alternative fuel? Is it, you know, I mean, and is it the JDM, the car, the Japanese cars? I mean, do we go that, or do we say, you know what? No, we're going to keep more tradition with the Concours. There can be other shows.
Sure.
Like the what's the show where they do the 80s and 90s cars?
Radwood.
Yeah.
And that's what we are incorporating into our motorsport park.
Sure. So
that's the Radwood theme.
I'm not quite ready for all of that yet.
We've done some interesting things over the years, slightly different things. We did tractors.
Right.
With an automotive theme.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
We've done pickup trucks, early old pickup trucks.
Right.
We've had a couple of fire trucks. I think in the future... The story of electric vehicles would be very interesting.
It's going to be hard to ignore, you know, regardless. I mean, they've been around for hundreds of years.
There's nothing new.
Been around for 100 years.
And you go to Boyertown.
Story to tell. Absolutely.
And you see some great electric cars. And they were interesting back in the day. I mean, if you look at the contraptions to fuel up an electric car, it was this grid-looking thing that, you know, had these weird copper-looking things.
Oh,
and
if
you thought if you touched it, you'd, you know, fry yourself. But I think that – I know that people ask about, you know, different categories, and I know Pebble Beach was trying to assuage that, but I think that a Concours d'Elegance should probably always stay a Concours d'Elegance. And if you want to have, I mean, listen, Hot Rods have the Oakland Roadster Show, and they have the Motorama in Detroit, and Radwood for those type of cars. And I think there's a place for everybody. And I you know, you don't want to ever see a Concours without a Duesenberg or a Packard or a, you know, a V16 Cadillac. I mean, those should be. They should be automatic. You got one of those, you're in.
And what you said is exactly right. There's a place for everything at Radnor Hunt, with the motorsport park, motorcycles, concourse.
Sure. Cars
we
and
have
coffee.
Some bicycles.
Right.
Really cool old vintage bicycles. The bicycles are made by Pierce Harrow.
Yeah.
And kids' cars.
Cars.
Yeah. I remember that when they had the pedal cars that time. Yeah.
We have pedal cars every year.
Yeah.
There's some vintage go-karts that go in with the pedal cars.
Right.
So this is a place for everything.
Right.
One of the other things we've done... started that last year. We are one of the first major Concours events that has a woman chief judge.
That's right.
So we're trying to bring more women into it.
And that woman chief judge will run circles around me and knowledge of cars, no question about it. I don't even want to get into that contest.
Well, you don't have to live with her, right?
Yeah, she knows her cars.
Oh, she's
amazing.
She's a car guy.
Yeah.
She is either. This is Susan Taddeo.
Yeah, Susan Taddeo is Mike's significant other, for those of you who don't know.
She has either judged or participated in, I think, virtually every major car show in the country.
Isn't that amazing?
And in Europe and in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
And many in Europe and many of the vintage rallies.
Sure.
So, yeah.
And it's interesting is when a lot of the women heard about her, they wanted to be part of the event and judge. So we got brought in a lot of, you know, quality women judges.
Sure. When we return, we'll continue our conversation with the two gentlemen from the Radnor Hunt Concord Elegance. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
The Classic Auto Mall is located not far from Audubon, Pennsylvania, named after James Audubon, the famous ornithologist. And there's probably no better place for bird watching. Look there, a flock of thunderbirds. Of course, who doesn't love the powerful firebirds? Studebaker lark and hawks, Buick skylarks, plus AMC eagle, and the difficult-to-catch roadrunner. Oh, there's no better place for bird watching than Classic Auto Mall.
Come visit us at Classic Auto Mall. See our website, classicautomall.com, for hours and location.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE. Or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall show from the Classic Auto Mall studio in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. ClassicAutoMall.com is the website if you're curious about any of our new inventory or want to know more about what's going on here. I just realized I had a typo on my own notes here. Gosh, Stuart. And then, I like to point out my flaws, JR. I'm sorry about that. There is a claw growing out of my back. They just can't see it on the air. Talking with my two friends, Mike Tilson and Toby Ross, about the Radnor Hunt Concord Elegance, which is located at the Radnor Hunt. Is it, what's the proper name for the Radnor?
It's, called, it's not called Radnor Hunt Club. Oh. It's called Radnor Hunt.
Radnor Hunt.
And it happens to have a clubhouse.
It's redundant to say club or whatever.
They don't like that.
And you actually do fox hunting on the grounds there,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are the oldest continuous fox hunt in America since 1883.
Wow, that's crazy.
Fox hunt 3 days a week in the hunting season, which begins in August through March.
Right.
We hunt live fox,
right?
But our license from the state of Pennsylvania is a fox chasing license.
Gotcha.
So we just chase foxes. There's no reason to kill foxes.
Kill them or anything,
they,
right.
They used to be predators to sheep and chickens.
And there was a reason.
There was a reason. Yeah. There's no reason to do that anymore.
Right.
And we keep the habitat open for them and other wildlife.
You can take care of the foxes.
And we do. If we see a fox that has a mange and we know where he lives, we put out chicken or hot dogs with ivermectin, antibiotic, and to help cure the mange.
Oh, wow. And they like chicken and hot dogs.
Huh? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? You know?
And then, you know, every now and then someone will drop by the kennel that had a turkey dinner and they got the carcass left over, and we'll take the carcass out and put it in the woods for the...
And that'll give them something to to go towards.
To stick around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, don't leave.
And the hounds are carefully selected to be chasing hounds?
Yes, they're
what type of dogs are they?
They're foxhounds. They're breed unto themselves.
Duh.
So there are English foxhounds, there are Penn Meridale, and they're crossbred and American. So we have crossbred and American hounds.
Wow. And are those all, are the hounds owned by the club?
They're owned by the club.
Wow.
We have about 70 in kennel.
No kidding.
Yeah. And it's a full-time job. Our huntsman lives on the property.
Sure.
And maintains the...
They don't have to dress up in that whole garb, though, every day.
No. No, that's only in the formal season in November.
If you haven't seen Mike in his formal garb, it's badass sometimes. It's just cool. It's like Corky Coker in his big leather boots. You know, I couldn't get away with it, but you pull it off really well.
Scarlet.
Yeah.
Interesting story about that. I don't know if you know Rita Mae Brown, who wrote these books. She has a hunt down south a very interesting lady.
Right.
And she writes books about fox hunting and horses. And she said, Mike, you should come down and hunt with my group sometime. I said, I'd love to do that. She said, well, I just have to warn you, it's a little dangerous. I said, what, the big jumps, ditches? She said, no, the women. I said, oh, I said, well, they get scarlet fever? She said, what are you talking about? I said, well, they see a man in scarlet and they fall in love.
Scarlet fever.
And she said, oh, I'm good. Going to have to use that in one of my next books. Like 6 months later, I get a book in the mail, and it's called Scarlet Fever.
How funny.
And in the back of the book, she gave me credit for the
title.
That
is so funny. But, you know, I mean, since the 1800s, it's hard for anything to continue on that long.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And it's hard to keep interest. You know, it's exactly. Not like it's a prevalent thing that you see it, you know, it's not an Olympic sport yet, I guess.
Yeah, and it's, the other thing is it's the same problem we have with the car world is to get the younger people interested and involved.
We try and try and try.
So many distractions.
But I think, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think that the thing that we're missing, though, on getting the young people involved is not trying to change the event to the young people.
Exactly.
Let's change the young people to appreciate the V16 Cadillacs and Packards and Duesenbergs.
Yeah.
Are you going to have a hunt on the Saturday as usual?
Yes.
Yeah. So something else for everybody to know is our weekend has a great deal of activity on Saturday as well as Sunday. The concourse is on Sunday, but on Saturday we have the beginning of the road rally, and we have a Cars and Coffee sponsored by somebody we know.
I think it's Classic Auto Mall.
It's sponsored by Classic Auto Mall.
And donuts, too.
Yeah. But at the same time, Mike and the group will be starting a fox hunt.
Wow.
So if you're there early Saturday morning to see the start of the rally and see the Cars and Coffee, just wander over to the barn and you'll see them all saddling up and getting the hounds out and taking off on a hunt. And it's really, really cool.
Oh, I'd like to see that. I haven't seen it. And is it one ticket for all 3 days, or do you not need a ticket for Friday and Saturday?
You need a ticket to participate in the rally on Saturday, but everything else is free on Saturday.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's nice. So
Sunday
people
is gated and ticketed.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, you need to go see the start of that fox hunt. The horses are huge. The scarlets are beautiful. The hounds are great.
Yeah, they're little
sounds. Yeah, it's just wonderful.
So, and then something with carriages you do also, right? Is there a carriage
parade?
Yes.
Parade. And that'll happen on Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Gotcha. Yep. And we also do parade the foxhounds. We have our huntsmen come out with two whipper-ins and parade the hounds on the race course.
Right. Oh, that's right, because there's a race course right there down the hill.
Again, it's the equestrian connection. It's the only concourse we're aware of where we have a carriage drive, which is multiple horse carriages that go out on their own road rally, so to speak, and then arrive at our concourse at about 11:30 on the Sunday morning and are on display for everybody to see.
And I bet that's a big attraction to people.
It surely is.
And the detail on these carriages is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of our friend Harry Tusey's carriages, Belgian carriages, are like, wow. Some of them put cars to shame. I mean, some of them are just so ornate and intricate and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize these are built by hand in the 1800s, a lot of them.
Exactly.
And cars were a little later.
Yeah. And then we will have the whipper-in run through around the concourse with a group of the hounds.
Mm-hmm.
And they
right
have
all
the,
through the...
They have, yeah, well, they kind of run right through and right by. Yeah.
I don't know what, and it's quite I don't know what event I've been going to. I missed this. I guess I'm busy or something. I don't know. I'm trying to buy some silent auction stuff, you know.
Right. We have that too.
Thank God, because Kathy says, you know, what's he going to spend his money on if we don't have silent auction stuff where he can buy whatever. So I love those silent auctions. So, there's the barbecue is on Friday night.
Yeah.
And that's an informal get together with the participants. Early entrance and that kind of thing. Now, can people buy tickets to that as well too?
Sure. Yes, indeed.
Okay,
yep.
And to the gala or to the formal thing on. Well, I met some great people there. I tell you,
there's some interesting.
Chuck Cantwell, Shelby fame, and Judy Stropas, who's become a great friend of ours, and
both of whom will be among our honored
and
guests.
Alan Cathcart, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. He is fascinating.
Right.
My
interesting
goodness.
History. Yeah.
My goodness, what he has done, and to go 100 miles an hour on the Bruff Superior and a bike that's complicated to operate, and people don't realize that, you know, those things weren't, you know, they had stick shifts on a motorcycle.
Well, he is our main honored guest. He's coming over from England to join us.
And I love that he likes to say he did his career backwards. He started racing cars and then shifted over to motorcycles where he was tremendously successful.
Yeah. His first car race, one of his car races was in a Lamborghini a Ferrari Dino that he rented from Avis in London and went and blew the brakes out on it. Right. Like renting a Shelby GT350 back in the day.
There was GPS to keep track of the rental cars.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? You know, the way people drive a rental car is shameful. We all are guilty of it.
No respect.
Yeah. We used to have races. I don't think the statute of limitations may not be up on some of these, but we'd go to events. Of course, the fun thing to go to auctions back in the day was to buy a really crap can car on Wednesday of the auction, drive it for the weekend, and sell it Sunday.
Right.
Don't quite have those anymore. But, boy, the auctions were up and down this past year.
It was very interesting.
It was an interesting week in Monterey, and a lot of surprises, a lot of no sales on some cars.
Of course, high-end cars.
Yeah, some of the high-end cars failed to
sell.
There'll
be a lot written about this past week of auctions, yep.
I noticed that Mecum seemed to miss the mark on some of those cars, which is an interesting choice. You know, Mecum hit some home runs on muscle cars. They sold a Dodge Daytona, thank you, Toby, for $3.3 million, and then a Plymouth Cuda convertible, one of 14, for $2.4 million,
but the GT40
and for the lightweight for $7.8 million or something. I don't even
those are home runs for sure.
Can't imagine raising my hand or paddle at that price point. I don't care how much money I have.
You pay somebody else to hold the paddle for you.
Yeah. So true. But it'll be interesting to see. I know that RM, their preliminary sales were $161 million, which if you start doing the math on their commission, that was a pretty good weekend for them.
It was. It was. But overall, the sales were down for the first time in a number of years.
Yeah.
I think there was a total of $370 million.
Yeah.
And we had been expecting excess of $450.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And an awful lot of the high-end cars were no sales.
Well, how many high-end guys can afford a million-dollar-plus car? I mean, your net worth can't be $1.1 million if you're buying a million-dollar car.
No.
You got to have $100 million, probably minimum in the bank, to buy a million-dollar car. And it only goes up from there. And, of course, you had your hands, Mike, on a lot of these cars
back
in the day. Yeah. And if you could have just...
Well, there were a lot of people that were smarter than I that didn't.
that held on to them, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, we live in interesting times.
Yes, we certainly do. And I noticed that one of our other favorite events besides the Radnor Hunt is the Chattanooga Motoring Fest, which is a great event down in Tennessee.
Coming up in October.
Yeah, coming up soon. And you know, the hub of that is the Westin Hotel there. It's just amazing. You just see everybody.
I know.
It's just so cool.
Convenient.
It's so convenient.
You walk out to the hotel and everything's there.
And there's restaurants there and all the cars are right there and everything is right there. And it's always exciting. And they've done a good job of making it just more than a car show for a better term. Same with the Radnor. We're doing the foxes and the carriages and all that. They've added different elements to it. Mm-hmm. And I think they both work in their own way.
Sure.
And I think Chattanooga has really put itself on the map, and I think it will continue to do so as time goes on. We like going down there, and I grew up in Knoxville, which is just north of Chattanooga, and we always looked at Chattanooga as the little peon city they've surpassed us. They're way cooler than Knoxville now. So.
Well, when I got involved, it's the first time I had ever been there.
Right.
And I was like so impressed and how southern it is and how easy and relaxed
and friendly.
It is.
And friendly people. I mean, but you know, Pennsylvania reminds me of that in some respects too. When I moved to Pennsylvania, I thought I was moving to the north, and it's not really the north in the true sense of the way people think about this part of the world. You think of everybody as fast paced and, you know, angry and ready to go and, you know, and we're not that way.
Not quite.
Looks like we're just about ready to go to a break. We'll continue with our show here in just a minute on the Classic Auto Mall show.
The Classic Auto Mall is like going to the greatest indoor car showroom in the country. With more than 1,000 classic and collectible vehicles for sale via consignment in our 8-acre climate-controlled showroom, we've got something for everyone. We're open to the public most days. Plus, you can easily search our inventory online at classicautomall.com. Buying and selling via consignment is safe, easy, and secure. Plus, we advertise, sell, and ship worldwide. Find your dream classic vehicle at classicautomall.com.
Questions or comments? Contact us at podcast@classicautomall.com.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. Or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Hey, folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday, 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember, folks, I'm not angry. I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with the Classic Auto Mall Show with our two friends, Mike Tilson and Toby Ross from the Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance, which is coming up in, well, today is the 21st of August already. Oh, my gosh.
It's coming up fast.
Two weeks?
Two and a half weeks.
By the time this airs, it'll be a week and a half.
2 weeks from airing, right?
Golly, it's just a time. You know, until I had to pay rent every month, I never knew how fast time went. My son said that to me. He goes, Dad, you always talk about time going fast. He goes, I didn't realize until rent was due at the end of the month. You're like, how can it be the end of the month already? It's just amazing. So, the featured mark at, Radnor Hunt this year is Hail Britannia, and we're excited to see some of the fantastic, British and your, cars that'll be there, in addition to a bunch of other cars as well, too. And another great event that's coming up is the St. Michael's Concours d'Elegance. That's coming up in Maryland. Yep. Is it St. Michael's, Maryland? Is that the city? I don't even know.
Well, it's near there, but it's Kent Island.
Kent Island, yeah. And it's a new location this year?
This is maybe the second year.
Second or third
We've
year.
Been running the spring event at the Kent Island Yacht Club for the last few years. This concourse was started in St. Michael's, Maryland, so it maintains that name.
Right.
But the show is actually at the Kent Island Yacht Club, Kent Narrows.
And I know that 1 year they had done wooden boats. Is that still part
of the...
They still do.
Kind of like Keels and Wheels down in Houston, which I've never been to, but I hear that's a pretty great event as well.
Exactly. Just as Radnor Hunt is an equestrian theme, St. Michael's has a nautical theme.
On the water. It makes sense.
Exactly.
The judge's meeting room is actually on a boat.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah.
My boat's not that big.
This is a big boat.
It's a big boat.
It's tied up right next to the yacht club.
So. Yeah.
And the yacht club's tremendously supportive.
So. Yeah. And I tell you, that's a beautiful part of the world in the Chesapeake Bay area and all that. And we did recently buy a boat, and we went down and looked at some dock areas and things like that and didn't like what we saw. But somebody said, you need to go on the eastern side of the Chesapeake, Chesapeake City, and places like this, you'll find you like it a lot better down there.
Yeah.
So now we're kind of thinking of that. We don't know what we're going to do. So will there ever be a boat class here? No, just kidding.
Never know.
Yeah, never say never. Right?
Right? Right? Yeah. There are some Lamborghini powered boats, some Ferrari.
Oh yeah. Boats. How about the Rivas? Those things are
beautiful.
Amazing. I have a model Riva in my office. It's big, not quite big enough to traverse the waters, but it's the biggest one I'll ever have.
Well, that's awesome.
Whether I like it or not,
Beautiful.
So, some of the winners of Best in Show at Radnor have been amazing. Last year was the 29 Rolls-Royce P1 Derby Speedster by Brewster. An amazing car. I mean, absolutely. And then the sport was the 62 Lotus 23 Sport Racer, which
very neat car.
Yeah, that was
great,
great
support
car.
From our friend Bob Mirabelli.
Yeah, and then the motorcycle was the 54 MV Agusta, the Disco Volante. I love that. That's so cool. That is, when we were at one of the other Concours, I can't remember, I don't know if it was the MV Agusta or something like it, started up and it sounded like a bomb went off. It was the loudest thing I've ever heard, louder than any car I've ever heard. I mean, it was
amazing.
Really, amazing that the little tiny motor put out that kind of noise. You just think
that's what got me involved in racing. My grandfather used to take me to dirt tracks when I was a little kid to the races, and the sound of the race cars was like addicting.
Yeah. I got addicted to the sound, and then like the methane smell that smell of it,
the castor oil,
castor race oil. That is absolutely.
I rode a two-stroke dirt bike in junior high and high school, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get any girls to go out with me. It's because I smelled like a oil pit. I come into school with my hair all matted down. I would ride my motorcycle and hide it in the woods. Because you weren't allowed to ride your motorcycle to junior high.
Right.
But my parents were like, as long as we don't have to take you to school, then go figure out a place to park it. And so we'd go walk in there in the O'Day Castrol.
Jeez, you're cool. I rode my bike to school. I put baseball cards in the spokes to make the sound of a motorcycle.
Did anybody see Stuart?
Yeah. He was just here. I can smell him. And then, of course, the year before, the 25 locomobile, a Durham convertible. Yes. And of course, Durham as a local connection as well, too.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we all did some time in the Durham bodybuilding. Yeah, Mike worked there.
That was the Elgar Ferrari
building
dealership
in
Rosemont.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. And when I was there, Durham was still doing some custom coach work. There.
Really?
They were building bulletproof cars for third world dictators.
No kidding.
But these guys were a little bit old and slow, but by the time the cars got done, the dictators were dead. But it was amazing. They used to do the bulletproof glass and the grenade plates.
Underneath the car?
Under the car and test shoot through the glass. It was astounding what they were doing up there.
Wow. And, of course, you don't want that to ricochet back at you.
No.
And that would...
But when I was there, the last of the Durham brothers was still... living, and he was operating that, and it was Enos Durham.
Right.
I was in my 20s. He was in his 80s.
Wow.
And I would take the time to talk to him and try and pick his brain about the history. And I said to him one day, Mr. Durham, I would love to one day find a Durham body car.
Right.
And he said, well, you should do that. But at that stage in my life, I was interested in race cars, fast cars. And I happened to be at an event one day. I think it was Amelia Island. I was walking down the grass, and somebody said, be careful, there's a car behind you. And I looked behind me, and I said, well, there was a Packard. I couldn't even hear it.
Right.
It was so dead quiet and smooth. And subsequently, by the time I got to be 50 years old, I found a Durham body Packard.
Right.
Which I still have.
Oh, you still have it? Yeah. Wow. And did your father work at Durham Body as well,
no,
too?
No.
No, okay.
My father had his own shop.
Oh, he had his own shop. Gotcha. Yeah.
My father and my grandfather and my uncle, they were all in the car business.
Right. So hard for you to avoid it, right?
Right.
Not that you wanted to, but.
Well, they said you don't get in the car business. They made me go to college, and I hated every minute of it.
That, you know, I think that's the on the resume of every car guy is that I hated college, but I did it because I had to.
Right.
It was not. I knew better.
Nope.
You know, I knew that I wanted to be involved with cars. I just didn't know how to get involved with them back in the day. And growing up in East Tennessee, there wasn't a lot of car events. Even there wasn't even a lot of car shows.
Yeah.
And then you come up here, and I mean,
I figured it out.
Every weekend there is car shows and cars and coffees and events.
It's
It is just overwhelming how many things are on our calendars that we just can't go to all of them.
Yeah, we've got something on every weekend from now until the beginning of November.
We were just discussing that there's not a weekend that we don't have something between Audrain and going down south and Chattanooga and
Cobble Beach.
And just everything. I mean, it's and I think that's a good thing because – especially the established ones. Some of these newer ones are going to have a tough time making it work because it's like you said, it's a commitment, Toby. And people, you know, just to detail a car to go to any one of these Concours, it could be very expensive.
Thousands of dollars
just for the cleaning.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, forget the other part of it and fixing all the little things. I mean, when you look at 10 perfect Duesenbergs and you're trying to pick the best in class, it's got to be difficult. I mean,
very difficult.
Is there anything? Are these cars pretty much almost flawless? I mean, do you have to find one little nick?
Well, still a lot of it is subjective.
Right.
In the end.
Right.
I'm on the IC JAG board, the International Concours Advisory Judging Association, and we've come up with a guidelines for things to look for and assign certain points.
Right.
But at the end, we have a 5-point category for our provenance or history or part of the story.
Right.
So it still, in the end, comes to a subjective
part. Sure. I mean, you know, a beautiful car and the beautiful color, yeah. And it's exactly the same as the one next to it that's in maybe a drab color. And it may not be no fault of the car. It may have originally been that color.
Correct, yeah.
Is there any harm or foul in repainting, let's say, a Duesenberg in a different color? I mean,
It's points off.
Sure. How do you know that?
There's a certain expectation that when the owner fills the entry form out,
he's telling you the truth. Right.
And there's no harm when you're judging the car in asking him.
Sure.
And usually you have information about the cars you're judging ahead of time, and you could do some research.
Do a little checking yourself.
Yeah. That's the thing about judging. Mike and I judge at a lot of events, but
it's judging.
If the judges become judges because they've had gasoline in their veins since they were born, right. And they've spent their entire lives in their car world, and so they recognize that that Duesenberg is brown and it's supposed to be blue or something.
Right. Well, and I think that, judging says it all. I mean, you're judging a car and what your thought is about the car and what your feelings about the car are. And there's nothing wrong with something because it's beautiful winning the award, right?
Like, that always helps. It always looks good in the poster next year.
Yeah. Does the guy who's got the great story about the car, how does that factor into the judging?
That's important.
It can be very important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you know the history of who was in it and did it and this and that. And
the presentation by the owner or his representative to the judges is critically important.
The book of photos of the restoration and things like that.
To a point, certainly to answer questions.
Or sure.
To alliterate points, yeah. But it's amazing how really good some people are at presenting their car to the judges. And conversely, it's amazing how not so good some people are about.
Do you ever have to be the bearer of bad news? I imagine you do. Oh, that's got to be tough.
Yeah.
That's got to be tricky. But, you know, listen, it's a learning curve for most people, and most people hopefully will take it as such, is that their first Concours that they're invited to be in, you're probably not going to win anything, and you're probably going to learn a few things about your car that you didn't know, whether you like it or not.
Right.
We do the same thing here. We put the car up on the lift and go, there's a rust hole in there, and the guy goes, I've never seen the car on the lift before ever. You know, I've owned the car for 30 years.
Right.
Never had it on a lift. I don't know what it looks like underneath. And so I think that, you know, from a learning curve standpoint, but again, a lot of rich people are doing this and they don't like to lose.
They
plead a good case for their car to be best in show. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to obviously listen to that and understand where they're coming from and why they think it.
Sure.
And especially if they're a respected collector, right? I mean, we've got a lot of guys who've been doing it for a long time around here.
Oh, yeah. But there's no question that the presentation is very important to the results from the judges. It answers questions before they're asked.
Right, which is important.
Yeah.
One of the things we're doing this year, which goes back to the original idea of a Concours d'Elegance, is fashion and having the ladies and the gentlemen dress up and giving them an award for best dressed man.
We're going to have fashion experts wandering the show field.
And just randomly kind of picking people.
People. We have some really nice awards that we're going to give to the winners. Yeah. So we are encouraging all of our entrants and spectators to come in period dress.
We should do that in church, too, by the way, and maybe flying on a plane and other places where people should dress up. Exactly. I remember as a kid, I had to wear a navy blazer on an airplane.
Absolutely.
I got bumped up to business class in the early days because I was wearing a blazer.
See, that proves it right there.
Yep.
That's all you need to know. You get
come and pick me out of the waiting area and say, you know what, you can have this last business class seat.
I remember, I mean, flying with a blazer is the greatest thing in the world because you got lots of pockets and you can wad it up if you got the polyester version and just throw it under the seat.
You use it as a pillow too.
Well, and a pillow as well too. So when the lifestyle show continues here, we will. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for being on the show today. We look forward to the event. We look forward to talking more in years and years to come in the Radnor Hunt Concours.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Classic Auto Mall Show, and thanks to our special guests, Mike Tilson and Toby Ross from the Radnor Hunt Concours d'Elegance. Get a chance to visit their website, radnorconcours.org. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Classic Auto Mall Show with your host, Stuart Howden, executive producer, Steve Safier. Produced and engineered by yours truly, J.R. Russ. Available on ClassicAutoMall.com, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Questions, answers, or comments? Write us at ClassicAutoMall.com. And if you want to talk about buying a classic car seen on our website, you're looking for a particular vehicle, or want to consign your classic for sale, write us at info@ClassicAutoMall.com or call and talk to a real live classic car specialist at 888-227-0914. That's 888-227-0914. Music courtesy of the Pat Travers Band. For tour dates, contact, and stuff, visit pattravers.com. Produced by Car Smarts Media. Copyright all rights reserved. The Classic Auto Mall has more than 1,000 vehicles for consignment in our huge 8-acre climate-controlled showroom.
It's a real indoor mall.
If you'd like to know all the advantages of buying and selling a car through consignment, the information is available on our website, or you can talk to a classic car specialist who can answer all your questions. It's easy, safe, convenient, and it doesn't matter where you are, we sell worldwide. See our huge selection of classic and collectible vehicles at ClassicAutoMall.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.